Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in his glorious book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves the tawwabin, those people who are off turning to Him. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the mutatahirin, those people who seek purity. In general, if you pick up any book of fiqh, and in fact, even if you pick up books of hadith, often the first chapter is the chapter on tahara. Tahara means purification. And there's actually two words in English which you need to be very careful to distinguish before we move on. There's a word that we use, clean, and the other word is pure. There's a difference between being clean and being pure. Tahara means to be pure. Although we use these terms interchangeably, being clean and being pure, in the Sharia there's a huge difference between cleanliness and purity. Both of them are emphasized within the Sharia, but there is an enormous difference between them within our law. For example, something can be clean, but it may not be pure. Let's say somebody takes a bath, and they didn't perform the ghusl properly. They didn't perform the complete ghusl the way the Sharia mandates it. So they left out something. Now, that person's clean. They may have scrubbed themselves with so many fragrances and soaps, and they look clean, and they smell clean, and they look nice, but that person is not pure according to the Sharia. He hasn't attained tahara. In the same way, something can be pure, but it may not be clean. For example, sweaty clothing. Somebody has sweaty clothing after working in the field all day, or they work hard all day and they come home with dirty, sweaty clothing. Let's say it's somebody works as a mechanic. They work hard with their hands all day. They have grease on their clothes. They're sweating. That's not clean. We would consider it to be dirty, but it is still pure according to the Sharia. Sweat is not something impure in the Sharia. Neither is grease. So these words, although we use them interchangeably, when you're studying fiqh, you have to differentiate between clean and pure. And again, the Sharia places an enormous emphasis on both. For example, if you look within the Sharia, you'll find that it's makruh to pray with clothing which smells. Or when you have, if you eat something which causes your breath to smell, it's considered makruh within the Sharia, disliked, to pray in that state. So that's something that where cleanliness is emphasized, right? The breath and the clothing that smells, that has to deal with cleanliness. And so here the Sharia is emphasizing the importance of cleanliness. And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, "Man akala min hadhihi ash-shajara, ya'ni ath-thum, fala yaqrabanna masjidana." That the person who eats from this tree, and he was a garlic, he was pointing to garlic, "Fala yaqrabanna masjidana," he should not approach our masjid. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling people not to come to the masjid when their breath smells from garlic. So here the Sharia is very, very clear on the need for cleanliness. Furthermore, you see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to hadith, كَانَ لَا يَرُدُّ الطِّيبِ, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not refuse perfume. So here is the opposite extent. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam increased his cleanliness, sought cleanliness. When you put on perfume, it doesn't make you any more pure. Either you're pure or not pure according to the Sharia. But it increases your state of cleanliness. So tahara is actually an essential aspect of our iman. And it's an often neglected aspect of our iman. Especially in this day and age. It's so unfortunate that in this day it's completely disregarded. We will teach our children, or our parents taught us, to pray and to fast and to learn about Hajj, but the concept of tahara, the true concept of tahara as it stands within the hadith and the Quran, and then as it's explicated in the Sharia, is actually not presented to us. In this day and age, we're very, very lax about this. And in fact, this has a huge negative effect on our spiritual progress. Tahara is the base by which you build your salah. It's the base that allows you to then enter into the salah. And we're going to go into details in a minute on the power of tahara. But if your tahara is lacking in strength, then you can assume that it's going to carry over into your salah. And so this is a very, very important section of fiqh that we need to concentrate on, go deep into, and memorize its fundamental principles so that we can improve those acts upon which tahara is dependent, including our iman. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, "At-taharatu shatrul iman," Now, tahara is a branch of iman. It's a part of iman. It's essential to the iman. So tahara is very, very important for our development as Muslims. In this particular gathering, the focus will be to go through it in some sort of organized manner. Our goal will be to develop our iman and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these next 10 days. And inshallah, I'm hopeful that as you begin to learn these principles of tahara, as you begin to inculcate these principles of tahara, you'll also begin to notice a change in the state of your heart, just as you will from this i'tikaf.